Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
The word faithful comes to mind when you think of this next group that we're going to spotlight today, and they have been faithful since the 1950s. I want to welcome the McCameys to our microphones, and namely that would be Peg McCamey Bean and Carol Woodard. Hi, ladies. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're in Clinton, Tennessee now, right?
Yes, sir.
Is that where you've been pretty much throughout the whole career of the McCameys?
Yes.
And tell me where that's geographically. Is that near Nashville or is it Eastern? Or
near Knoxville.
Knoxville,
we're,
okay.
We're about 20 miles northwest of Knoxville.
And so back in the 50s, tell me how that was started. I mean, I'm assuming it was a family start to the McCameys from the get-go, right?
I'll let Peg answer that. She's older than I am.
I'll be glad to. The McCameys started as three sisters, a cappella singing. Yeah. One day, our older sister, Dora, said, I'm singing in church tomorrow, and you and Carol will sing these parts. I'll show you your parts. Mm-hmm. So we did. That's where it all started from, in church. My daddy was a preacher. Mine and Carol's dad.
Sure.
Same dad. And so, you know, our older sister grew up singing in church as well. So she just left that to us.
Oh, yeah. And was that Dora? Was her name?
That's right, Dora.
So it started out in church. At what point did other churches start to hear about, hey, there are these singing sisters, and they're pretty good?
You know, Daniel, it seems like that it was a process that was quickly processed, but I don't really remember the years, but I do know that when we would sing we sang revivals during weekdays, we sang homecoming, so we sang in a large number of churches,
sure.
And with evangelists coming in for revival from Ohio and Florida and so forth, we got invitations to come, and so we started traveling right away and just traveled, just the three sisters, until we met my husband Reuben, and he started playing guitar for us, so we didn't have to sing a cappella much anymore.
Okay.
That.
You still do some a cappella stuff nowadays?
Yes, we do from time to time.
Yeah. You find that to be kind of people who followed the career of the McCameys, that's very reminiscent for them to go back and hear the McCameys back in that original form.
Yes.
What year did you meet Reuben?
I met Reuben in 57.
Okay.
We married in 59, and he continued to play for us until 68. Mm-hmm. We made our first recording, and we asked and encouraged Reuben to add that fourth part in 68.
Sure. And so tell me the lineup, like during the 60s then, you were the three sisters?
Three sisters and Reuben.
In talking with these groups, you usually can put a gospel artist into one of two categories. One is either just a male quartet, or the other is a family group. And sometimes the family group has a couple people who are family, and then they hire some outsides to come in. But you guys, this is all family. This is all, and there's
all
something
family.
About the harmony with family singing that you just can't. It's hard to manufacture that or duplicate it if you're not really family. You find that to be true?
That's what they tell us.
I guess. Yeah. We've never sung outside our family, so I guess.
Does that pose some interesting moments? I mean, you're always together as a family. Sometimes you think it might be nice to get out and go get a day job somewhere. Or do you really love each other that much?
Oh, we do.
Yeah.
Yes,
I think so.
We're all friends, good friends. Yeah. And it never dawned on me.
Me neither.
It started in the mountains long ago. Daddy preached the word of God and sang a mountain song. One by one, we met the one he preached about so long. And though it's been a while, through many miles, he's never led us wrong. But it's more than just our history.
From home.
The McCameys are our guest today. And there is a unique sound that comes with the McCameys, and it's put its signature on songs. I think probably one of the best known songs is God on the Mountain that the McCameys are known for.
You're right.
And what year did that song surface? And
1988.
And did you know immediately that it was going to take on a life of its own the way it has?
No.
It
was no.
No way.
Surprise, huh?
Yes, sir. Certainly.
Tell me some stories about that song in particular. I'm sure you've had response from places you may never dreamed of that song going and ministering.
Absolutely, and I can't even begin to tell you how many, probably every state that we've heard from, and also several countries, probably 15 countries or 20, I don't know. And still today, the song is very popular and still requested. Mm-hmm. It's a great song. It was our third number one song. Mm-hmm. Our first being Who Put the Tears in the Eyes of the Lamb, mm-hmm. and then Getting Used to the Dark.
Yeah.
And then God on the Mountain, and it's just been tremendous. I can't measure that song.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But then things change and you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go so easy when life's at its best, but it's down in the valley of trials and temptation that's when faith is really put to the test. For the God on the so easy when life's at its best, but it's down in the valley of trials and temptations. You see, that's when faith is really put to the test. For the God on the God in the night, the God of
with their signature, It's God on the Mountain by the McCameys, and you're listening to Daniel, Britt, and Friends. McCamey's on Daniel, Britt, and Friends. That was their first number one. And now, here's their second number one. It's Getting Used to the Dark. The McCamey's are featured guests on Daniel, Britt, and Friends.
Christian lives are wrecked by sin, and we blame it on the world we're in. We say there's nothing we can do. Instead of being a shining light, we're just doing right in our own eyes. As Christians, we're not doing our part. We're just getting used to the dark. We're getting used to the dark. We're getting used to the dark. We're not praying to change any hearts. We're just getting used to the dark. Sin's all around us, yet we don't think this world's really as bad as it seems. We just close our eyes to what's going on. We're not burdened for the sinner man. Won't give our brother a helping hand. It's time we show the world a little spark instead of getting used to the dark. We're getting used to the dark. We're getting used to the dark. We're not praying to change any hearts. We're just getting used to the dark. We're getting used to the dark. in the dawn. We're not praying to change any hearts. We're just heading east of the dawn. Heading east of the dawn.
I talked a couple of years ago to Kyla Rowland. Okay, and so I put two and two together, and she told me about the song that she wrote. And when I saw it on the song list of some of her best songs that she written, I said, I got to ask her about that. And I believe I was a youngin' getting started in radio back in the late 90s, I think it was. And I think, Peg, we did a telephone interview about it because it just come out, and there was something very, very unique about the song that you were doing in concerts, and it's the Wall of Prayer, and it was the prayer wall, and the Wailing Wall. You were kind of – tell me about all that because I'm not going to tell it the right way.
Well, we went – we got a picture. I think we got it off the Internet, mm-hmm. a picture of the Wailing Wall, mm-hmm. and we had a banner made up of that picture.
Yeah.
And then we took it with us at our concerts and set it up, and we had people put their names on that wall, mm-hmm. and we I think we titled it Wall of Prayer, mm-hmm. and had people to sign put their needs on the wall, sign their names, and so it quickly filled up. And then we started just taking names and putting them in a basket and setting them at the bottom of that big banner. And then we started getting calls of people that had answered prayer and thanked us for putting them on the Wall of Prayer. Well, we had a lot of call-ins, too, I'm sure, at the office for us to put them on our prayer list. And we've had tremendous response from that. I mean, people still tell us, and that was when
97, 98, something like that.
Yeah. You know what, Daniel? It brought us closer to our audience. Yeah. We knew their needs and their hearts.
Sure.
And that was what I learned from it. And I thought, wow, what a tremendous truth that taught me.
And if it were nothing but just a business, cold, black and white move, that's marketing. I mean, you get to know what your audience is going through. But
right.
because it's gospel music, it takes on a whole spiritual level, and it provides an avenue of ministry that's very much needed. And that continues today, right? I mean, you guys have seen you've got a prayer ministry that probably very few artists and groups have going.
Yes, tremendous.
And people still send you prayer requests today, huh?
Yes.
The Wall of Prayer. In fact, let's go back to that clip with Kyla Rowland, the author of that song. In the late 90s, I remember the McCamies had a song, Wall of Prayer.
Yes.
And I remember talking to Peg about that and remember hearing the stories, what they were doing with that song, I think over in the Middle East. Tell me about that whole process, that whole song, because I still think that's one of the most special songs in gospel music.
My son, Barry, we called him Bubba, and he was the inspiration for a lot of my songs. Like One Scarred Hand, mm-hmm. he was the inspiration yeah. behind that. But he was gone from home for 4 years when he was young. He left when he was barely 18. He was gone for 4 years. I didn't know where he was. He was just wanted to have his own way, and he wanted his way to be a life of sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so ultimately he did come home. But 2 years after he came home, he said, Mama, do you remember all those years I was gone and I was so deep in sin? I said, yes, vaguely, I remember that. And he said, did I ever tell you what brought me home? And I said, no, you haven't. So I was very still because I knew he was going to tell me something, which boys have a hard time talking to their moms.
Sure.
He said, I had gone so deep into sin and drugs, alcohol, so forth, had taken me physically so low that you could count every rib in my body. And he said, I knew that I couldn't last much longer. But he said, I got up one morning and I fell out of bed because I was too weak to stand up. And he said, I crawled to the couch and I laid down and covered up with coats and sweaters because I was so cold. And he said, I first began to ask God to take me home because I couldn't stand the guilt anymore. I just couldn't stand it. And he said, Lord, if you take me home, I know I'm saved. If you'll take me home, then my mama can have some peace. Mm. But then he changed his prayer. He said, no, Lord, if you want me to live, I'll do my best to serve you. And he said about that time I began to hear voices. And he said I lived in a little roach-infested apartment. And I looked at my watch. It was 10 o'clock in the morning, and there was no one going to work. I didn't know who it was. But as the voices came clear, it was a chorus of women. And they were praying. And the Holy Spirit, geography does not limit the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And he heard those prayers. And I can name the women who prayed for my son.
Yeah.
Who built a wall around him in my behalf.
Yeah.
And from that day forward, he came home. He tried to get himself in a little bit better shape before I saw him. But then after he told me that story, it was the easiest thing I ever did to sit down and write Wall of Prayer.
Tell me the thing the McCameys did with the wailing wall. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes. And they carried it with them. And I'm sure that was hard to carry. It was cumbersome, but they were so faithful to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And the answers to prayers that they have gotten through personal testimony, emails, telephone calls, it has been absolutely amazing. Men, especially, I mean, criminals.
Yeah, yeah.
Their names were put on that wall, and miracles of healing.
They collected prayer requests and took them over.
The name of your prayer request was put on the wall.
Yeah.
And they carried it everywhere. And they would have special prayers in their concerts for those names on that wall of prayer.
Kyla Rowland, the author of this song, Wall of Prayer, by our featured guest today, the McCameys on Daniel Print and Friends.
There are walls made by men, built by frail and human hands, that an enemy can scale and get to you. But there is one protecting me from my greatest enemy. It's a
McCameys are our featured artist today on Daniel Britt and Friends, and I grew up on gospel music, and I grew up going to concerts in the early 80s. My grandparents would get my parents' permission to keep me out late at night to go I'm told the story over and over to Warner Robins, George, in the Civic Center there, and we loved the concerts when the Inspirations would come and the McCamies would come, and later we got into the Spencers and, of course, Gold City and these great quartets. And I'll cherish that always. I mean, I remember seeing you guys sing and thinking, this is good music. And it stuck with me. And have you watched throughout your career? I don't want to make you sound old, but have you watched kids come into your concert who are now adults with kids of their own?
Oh, yes.
Yes, sir.
How does that make you feel?
Wonderful. I tell folks all the time, I love to see these young people come to concerts because it makes us feel young.
Right.
But it's precious of them to remember and have those fond memories of the McCamies.
I don't sense any kind of... and I'm not throwing stones, but I don't sense any kind of political angles that you play when it comes to singing. You seem to have a passion for what you sing about and the reason you sing. And if it's accepted, it's accepted, and you've done the best you can do.
Yes.
And that's to be commended, because it's so easy to get caught up in a political whirlwind of business.
Yes, sir, it is. But, you know, Mr. Rubin takes care of the business, yeah, and that leaves us free to just fellowship and have a good time.
Absolutely. Rubin, you said he sings, he brings in the fourth part. Does he still play some?
Play
guitar?
He doesn't. He hasn't played in a long time, just around the house.
Yeah.
But we hired musicians, I guess first, was it 80, Carol, or 84? 84? I can't remember. Early 80s, we hired musicians to take our place, because I used to play guitar. Ruben played guitar. Carol played the bass. Mm-hmm. Our daughter Connie played the piano. And then we began to hire. Well, first Ruben hired somebody to play the guitar for me.
Right.
And then, because it freed me up, and I never could keep good time anyway, so.
Well, I traveled down a long, long road. I carried a heavy, heavy load, you see. One day the Lord spoke to my heart and said, why don't you roll that burden on me? Why don't you roll that burden on me? Or you may stumble on the way. Folks are breaking down from worry day by day. Great, great trial. I struggled so many, many miles, you see. By faith I met the Lord and heard him say, why don't you roll that burden on me? Why don't you roll that burden on me? Or you may stumble on the way. Folks are breaking down from worry day by day. Roll that burden on me. Now I'm running down this long, long road. I'm feeling so happy, happy as can be. I am so glad that I heard Jesus say, why don't you roll that burden on me? Why don't you roll that burden on me? Or you may stumble on the way. Folks are breaking down from worry day by day. Roll that burden on me. Why don't you roll that burden on me? Or you may stop.
We're talking to Peg McCamey and Carol Woodard. Carol, the Woodard name, obviously, from your husband, right?
Right.
Did he play a part in the group at all?
No.
So
he always stays home. He helped me raise three boys and a girl. Yeah. And so he was the at-home model.
And the songs you're still putting out today, I mean, I don't know how old the good news is, but every time I hear that on the radio, I have to listen to the whole thing. I love the voices, and I love the words that come out of that. And you guys seem to provide such hope with this music. I'm thinking of Even in the Valley, another song you guys have done. If you could go down like a list, tell me some of the biggest songs that you get requests for to do.
Well, God on the Mountain, of course. Occasionally we'll get some requests for the older songs. Right on Time was a strong song for the McCameys, and Do You Know How It Feels?
Yeah.
Under His Feet.
Never was a number one song, but it was a strong song. Followed God on the Mountain. Mm-hmm. And God Will Make This Trial of Blessings, another great song that's helped folks.
And not a Valentine's Day goes by that I can't not pull out the old love letter.
Oh, I love that song.
Yeah, a good song.
It's a great song.
Where did that one come from? Who wrote that?
There was a legally blind lady in Memphis area that wrote that song. Can't remember her name. I don't think I've ever met her, maybe one time. Mm-hmm. But the only song that she ever wrote for us. Great song.
I found an old love letter that was written just for me. It told me how much I am loved, sweet and tenderly. With a broken heart I read each line of God's love for me. It was written by a nail-scarred hand at Calvary. Oh, how this old love letter spoke to my heart and soul. I was captured by every word as I watched His love unfold. With special care He it was written by a nail-scarred hand at Calvary. I found the old love letter, the pages stained with red. I am yours eternally, is what the postscript said. Treasure my letter that He nailed upon that tree. My tears stain its pages every time I read. Oh, how this old love letter spoke to my heart and soul. I was captured by every word as I watched His love unfold. With special care He wrote it down for all eternity. It was written by a nail-scarred hand at Calvary. Oh, how this old love letter spoke to my heart and soul. I was captured by every word as I watched His love unfold. With special care He wrote it down for all eternity. It was written by a nail-scarred hand at Calvary. With special care He wrote it down for all eternity. It was written by a nail-scarred hand at Calvary.
You know how it feels to know something's missing and hear a still small voice that you just keep dismissing. Do you know how it feels to be troubled inside, to think just for you on a cross someone died?
Do you know how it feels when He knocks to surrender, how your sins washed away, never to be remembered? And know that it's real. Tell me, do you know how it feels? Then how does it feel to know you're a child of a King? Your heavenly Father owns every claim. How does it feel to know you are loved by the one who created the stars up above? How does it feel to
things when your cold heart has melted and tears started flowing the moment you felt it. Do you know how it feels to know you've been changed and it seems that the whole world has been rearranged?
Do you know how it feels wherever you roam? You still get a feeling you're not at home, knowing heaven is real. Tell me, do you know how it feels?
Then how does it feel to know you're a child of the King? Your heavenly Father owns everything. How does it feel to know you are loved by the one who created the stars up above? How does it feel to know you're all right when you lay your head on your pillow each night
and know that it's real? Ain't it good to know how?
The McCameys on Daniel Britt and Friends. Here's some more of these great hits the McCameys have had through their career. This is The Good News.
It may be on the TV or on the telephone. Suddenly you feel a sense of gloom. There's good news and there's bad news, so where shall I begin? But I know that the good news is always at the end.
And the good news is that our hope's not in this life. There's a world that's far more real than what we know. Waiting to open wide, I know that God is in control. I know that God is in control.
We hear it said so often that God has a plan. It's written in His Word very clear. But we easily forget, and sometimes our hearts are gripped with fear. So we're looking for the good news to replace the bad we've heard. So if you have a moment, let me tell you what I've learned.
And the good news is that our hope's not in this life. There's a world that's far more real than what we know. To open wide, I know that God is in control. I know that God is in control. And the good news is that our hope's not in this life. There's a world that's far more real than what we know. And when it seems there's no miracle waiting to open wide, God is in control. I know that God is in control. And the good news is that our hope's not in this life.
A trial of stone. Down in the valley I felt so alone, fearing that Satan would tempt and abuse. But God sent sweet comfort with this sin.
Our guests today are the McCameys, and you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Peg McCamey and Carol McCamey Woodard sitting around our table today on Daniel Britt and Friends. From 1954 to where you are today.
My plan is to sing as long as the Lord will allow me to, because I love it, and that's what He put me here for, I feel, and I found my field, and I want to work there until He calls me home, and I want to be faithful to what He's called me to, and to be a blessing to His people, and to glorify Him.
Yeah, yeah. I've talked about the sound. There's an excitement, too, when you guys take the stage, and when one of those signature songs especially started up. The audience can tell, and it's hard to fake it, especially in gospel music. It's really hard to fake it because you gotta practice what you preach. You gotta, and so when you get on stage, you can tell Peg that it's sincerity. And I think that's a word that has become. I used faithful at the beginning of the program, but sincerity seems to describe the McCameys a lot too. You've gone through struggles. I mean, I'm sure you have. We all have. But have you found that those struggles through life have helped you reiterate what you say on the stage and convey
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. We call it, Daniel, that we live the songs we sing. And that's because they are real to us, and people think they're ours for years, and still some today think that I wrote God on the Mountain, which is so far, far away. I've never written a song.
Oh.
Brother Tracy Dart, of course, the preacher, wrote that song, but and I've never written a song, but I do get the credit for it, because when I hear that song and I live it, it becomes my song.
I thought that it would happen to anyone but me. I never dreamed that I would carry this heavy burden on my knees. I never thought that I'd be standing just where I stand today. I've never known this kind of heartbreak. I've never felt this kind of pain. But You're still God when my eyes have cried a million tears. You're still God when my last hope has disappeared. You're still God, and I know You'll make a way somehow. You're still God, and You're holding me right now.
My heart can't find the answer or the reason for this trial, but Lord, I know Your ways are perfect, and You've been watching all the while. For to me You've proven faithful time and time again, and I'm learning, Lord, to trust You even when I don't understand. But You're still God when my eyes have cried a million tears. You're still God when my last hope has disappeared. You're still God, and I know You'll make a way somehow. You're still God, holding me right now. You're still God, and You're holding me right now.
When you go back to Clinton and you've got a few days off, do you find yourself in the office kind of making preparations for the next week, or do you get some downtime?
I find myself in the office answering mail, email, and mail, phone, administering there along with, you know, as long as Reuben wants to stay at the office. He, you know, maintains the bus there. We have a garage and all combination thing. And so he's there late, and sometimes on Mondays or Tuesdays, we'll work late at the office getting these things done.
Yeah.
And I always answer the phone even after hours.
Yeah.
I can't not I cannot let a phone ring without answering it. And so I do counseling and just visiting as well.
So the ministry extends far beyond the lights of the stage.
Absolutely. Of course, our work at our home church, Carol's husband's chairman of the deacon board there, and they have, you know, ministry at home as well on those days. And she helps him with families and with his duties as well.
Yeah. Carol, when as a gospel singer who travels the world, and I'm sure internationally and everything, you often will ask somebody like yourself, what do you like to do when you have time off? Do you want to go on vacation? A lot of artists will say, no, I want to go home and just be at home and grow tomatoes.
Or do bed.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Do all the home things. Be a normal person.
Yeah. You find that to be true for yourself, then?
Yes,
yeah.
I do. I love to stay home. We have to, you know, when we're out on the road, we have to eat out.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go home, the first thing my husband says, let's go out and get us a good meal. And I go, I just love to sit here and have a bologna sandwich.
Yes, really.
But, that's about like it is. I like to be home. When I'm home, I like to be home.
The things you and your husband like to do, and you have kids?
Yes. Yeah. I have four children.
Right.
I have 12 grandchildren, and that takes up a lot of our time.
I bet so. Peg, what about you when you are... When you're away from the office and you're home, you've got a week or 2 weeks, and you're off your schedule, you know, off of your tour schedule. What's the Bean household?
Well, this is our schedule. We sing Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays every week, except 2 weeks in July and 2 weeks in December. Mm-hmm. Sometimes in December we'll get maybe 3 weeks, but that's my downtime only.
Sure.
Because every week is the same. We sing Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, church on Sunday, church Wednesday night, office work Monday, Tuesday, plus laundry. So we get that done. And so when we're off the road, then I get to visit my family. I have a large family, and Reuben has a large family. So we get to visit them. We have reunions in the summer, and then we have Christmas in December. So that's what we do. We visit our families.
Mm-hmm. You talked about eating at home versus eating out. You do good cooks? You like to get home in the kitchen
Yes, we do. Yeah. I'll vouch for Carol. She does she does a mean coconut cake, and she does a lot of good cooking, and I still cook some.
Yeah. So we know who to call when we enter Clinton, Tennessee, and the city limit sign should say, I don't know if it does or not, it should say home of the McCamies, and we should find the home, and we should go eat.
It does say home of the McCamies.
Good. Yeah, it does. Good.
They just recently voted to do that, and they put it up at four entrances into Clinton, Tennessee. Yeah. Welcome to Clinton, Tennessee, the home of the gospel singing McCamies.
Great.
Yes.
Great. Very, very proud. How big is the town, Clinton?
What is it, 11,000?
11 or 12.
Our city is the county seat, so we have the courthouse there and the lawyers and all.
People around town, just plain old Peg and plain old Carol to them, I guess.
Right, so. Yes, sir, that's correct.
Yeah.
You go in the grocery store to shop, and they go, when are you going to be home, Annie? We would like to come and see you when you're going to be home.
Yeah, yeah.
Most of the time we're out.
Exactly. And you have annual dates you do around the country, I'm sure, and then still finding churches, new churches that call out of the blue and say, would you come sing?
We do.
It's encouraging.
Yes, it is encouraging.
And tell me about your website. It's McCamiesOnline.com, right?
Correct.
Like most of the groups, it's a great way to stay in touch. And you mentioned answering emails.
Yes.
Have you found that has opened up the portal from Clinton, Tennessee to worldwide now, and people can contact you from all over?
Oh, yes.
Your response from over there? From
Yes, we do. Yes.
People who order music.
And we've never been to Africa, and we get a lot of folks that love our music in Africa. Great. And in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's just tremendous. I will never know the power of internet.
Sure.
Really, I don't.
Well, we're glad you're still singing, like I say, even in the valley, the good news, the old love letter, and the God on the mountain. You can't forget that one. But you keep it up.
Thank you.
And McCamies Online is where you go, McCamiesOnline.com, to find out more. Peg McCamey and Carol McCamey Woodard, our guests today on Daniel Britt and Friends.
Those followers of Jesus, distressed and discouraged, thought Jesus had left them in a vine. to follow in his ways. Now he had gone and left them all behind. So they went back to fishing, but this time not for men. They spent a lot of time and didn't catch a thing.
Listening to Daniel Britt and Friends, each week Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern Gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.